a beautiful song. Thank you, ladies. So made me want to sing along with it. Is there any announcements this morning? Don't see Steve or Sherry in here, but we had a wonderful time at the barbecue yesterday. Lots of good music, lots of good food, and I'm sure we'll be hearing a report about our practice for today. It was a good time for everyone. Chris. Thank you, Louise. Patrick, did you have a...
Wednesday night, we're supposed to have ham for dinner. We have so much barbecue, we're going to have leftover barbecue.
Okay.
Same animal, different time.
Then you're in for a treat because the barbecue was delicious. Nikki, would you take care of the candle lighting? Is there any other any prayer requests?
There's an announcement to Elizabeth called. As normal, she overslept. But Kids for Christ tonight at 5. Kids for Christ tonight at 5. 5-year-old through 5th grade. Volunteers for Vacation Bible School. Volunteers for Vacation Bible School meet next Sunday from 2 to 4. If you want to volunteer for Vacation Bible School, and that gives you special privileges that recruits don't, I mean, that draftees don't get. The other thing is the Mothers and Others Banquet is May the 2nd and 6 o'clock, and just wants to call that to your attention. Three things that either she's working with or the, as helper with the children or the women. Okay, thank you.
Do you have any prayer requests this morning?
Kathy Green is on prayer list. She is going in for Pat's tomorrow. So prayer to see that it is in her list notes, but it's prayer to be heaven for you.
Okay.
If she does not get it happen, pray she'll have a message beyond the window.
These flowers are from the Fisher Memorial Service. Mr. Fisher passed away on Monday. The memorial service was here on Thursday. The funeral was yesterday in Hamilton, Alabama, or near Hamilton, Alabama. Also, Jameson Hall, Vanessa's great-granddaughter, and 6 months old, and may have some heart problems. They go tomorrow to check on that. Patsy is still having a rough time. Patsy Nero. So that's the one that comes to mind. And sometimes when I stand up, the brain sits down, so y'all want to sit.
Let's remember all these people, especially those the surgery, those who have lost loved ones this week, and all the special requests. Let's pause for a moment of silent prayer. Keep these people in your thoughts, and as we welcome Christ to join with us this morning in worship. Stand and join me together as we worship the Lord. God, we are people of the 21st century, far removed from the upper room.
Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe.
We have put away the festive trumpets, the fancy clothes, the chocolate bunnies of Easter. Must the message of Easter be put away for another year?
Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe.
We still seek the one who offers victory over death, whose love conquers evil.
Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe.
We gather to worship the risen Christ who offers us new life.
Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe.
Turn in your hymnals, page 228. We'll do 1, 2, and 4.
Preparation for prayer. We probably didn't feel that we knew that song, and there's some wonderful messages, more than one, but that go together to make the great message of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus reigns. When He had purged our sins, He took His seat above. Didn't stay in the grave. Thank you, Lord, that you raised Jesus up. That even our sin, and the sin of the whole world, could not hold him, could not keep him in the grave. But when he had paid the penalty, you raised him up to new life. And Lord, we thank you for the hope that is ours because of his resurrection. And your word promises that he's the first fruits of them that sleep in you. And we anticipate being raised up after our death and burial. We anticipate experiencing resurrection life. Life above. Lord, we thank you for sending Jesus. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for loving us so much that you gave yourself that we would not perish, but that we would have eternal life in your kingdom. Lord, we thank you that that relationship with you and being a part of your kingdom can begin the moment of our faith, and that we can grow and be better prepared for heaven. Now, use us in this hour just to glorify you, Lord, to honor you, to lift you up. And Lord, if there be one here that does not know you as their personal Savior, not trusted you to save them, Lord, let this be a service that that happens in. We pray in Jesus' name. Praying as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
And you may be seated.
The scripture admonishes us to not forsake the gathering together of ourselves to worship, and what a privilege it is for us to be able to come and join together and to state our common faith. Please join me in the Apostles' Creed. It's on the screen or in 716 in your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is sitting on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Without wavering, hold fast to the promise of hope. In faith and trust, let us bring our confession before God. Join me in unison. We, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned to our own way. We have denied your presence. We have betrayed your trust. We have laid our iniquities upon you. Forgive us and guide us back into your holy presence. As forgiven followers, may we be made new in your grace. As sheep of your pastures, may our lives exalt you for all the world to see. In faith and trust, we pray. Our assurance of forgiveness is taken from Isaiah. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. By his bruises we are healed. By his love we are made whole. Please turn your hymnal to 259. Read on me, Breath of God. Thank you. offertory sentence is from Acts 20:35. Remembering the words of Jesus the Lord, for he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So the ushers come forward.
Christ is risen. He gave his life for us, and all he asks is that we place our life in his hands.
Patrick is going to come now and share a scripture lesson with us.
This morning I'll be reading from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them, and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God.
Technology keeps getting in the way, or I keep being forgetful about it. That mic wouldn't work. The battery is dead. If you don't check early, you'll be come up. Back when I was in school, the only thing we had to worry about is never show a film without first checking the bub, having an extra bub, and making sure you had viewed the film to see if it was okay to show in church. But now we have all this other stuff and we try to use it. Peggy Donegan's father is back at the nursing home. We didn't mention him at the prayer time. And thinking real good, had a stroke, and using that hand is 91, and said he's going to play the guitar again. And so Patrick and I visited with him on Friday, I guess it was. The resurrection. There's no question that numerous people have trouble believing in the resurrection. And not only 2,000 years later, but right after it happened, it might have been harder for them than it is for people who have been in church all of their life and heard the story over and over and over, at least each Easter. John 20 talks about Jesus being resurrected, and that's what Patrick just read. But also I want to refer back to Luke 24 and another experience. So that's a supplemental passage of Scripture, if you will. And I hope that through this message that
if there's an unbeliever, if they will come to believe, and if they're, for us who do believe in the resurrection, that our belief will be strengthened, encouraged, and maybe we will be challenged to share the resurrection message with those that we come in contact with. The disciples did not really and readily grasp the idea of Jesus being risen from the dead. Now, some of them had been present when he raised Lazarus from the dead. Others had been present when he raised a little girl that they thought was dead. Even Lazarus after 4 days. But somehow, they say, is Jesus really going to be raised again? You know, he was nailed to a cross, etc., etc., etc. And there were so many other disappointments in their thinking concerning what the Messiah was supposed to be in their thinking, in their mind. Misinformation they had gathered, a misinterpretation of the Old Testament scriptures pointing to the Messiah, and they were just downhearted and downcast, and so they could not easily believe. They did not understand the scriptures. They did not understand the scriptures that Jesus had to rise from the dead. We find Mary in last week's lesson. She went to embalm or put spices on, similar to embalming, a dead body. Thomas, in this lesson today, Thomas was, I've got to see for myself. And then, 21st chapter of John, the disciples went fishing again. Was that just taking a break? They had seen the Lord. Was that just taking the break, though? Or was that, well, can we really go on? Is our ministry over? Or do we really have anything to do after Christ is gone? What did you do last Sunday afternoon? What was a good thing to do on the Sunday afternoon of Easter, an evening? I was just reflecting on some of my Easter afternoon and evenings, and our tradition was that my mom and stepfather would come and visit with us Easter weekend and be at church with us on Easter Sunday and probably go back Monday. They had to get back home to check on something, I don't know. But they would go back home. And I remembered once driving to Shelbyville, just driving around and looking at the countryside that direction and some of the horse farms, etc., etc., around there. If we had a sunrise service, what do we think we needed to do? Go home and take a nap. And even without a sunrise service this year, what did I do Sunday afternoon? We went home, we had lunch, we got the kids away, and took a nap. And it was a good nap. And I guess we needed it. I say that to get back to that first Easter evening or afternoon and evening. Mark and Luke and John tell us of the action of some of the followers of Jesus on the afternoon and the evening of that first Easter. I want to look at Luke's account first. I said in the printing, I said two unnamed disciples. About five verses into the story about the two who walked to Emmaus, we have a name. One who was named Cleophas. Two account of two disciples, leave out the word unnamed. They walked to Emmaus the afternoon of the resurrection. Emmaus wasn't very far, so they struck out. What else did you do? Some gathered together in a place behind locked doors. That was later, but distraught. What happens after death in your family? We usually gather and encourage one another and love one another and remember together. That's part of what the memorial service was Thursday evening. Family coming together and neighbors and friends of Mr. Fisher that he had met in the short time that he had lived here. People from the Lions Club, the Masonic Lodge, the retirees group from our church. Mr. Fisher and Ms. Fisher had attended church here a few times, but they had gotten to know some people, and family came in from Michigan and other places, and we just fellowship over at the house. I'm just using this for an example because it's so fresh. Over at the house, people, neighbors, kept dropping by just to visit and offer their condolences, their sympathy, offer their help if help was needed. Pretty common thing, if I can do anything, please call on me. We might ought sometime to specify what help that we're able to do, because we might be called on. People say, will you do me a favor? I've been asked that many times, and I learned early to say, tell me what it is first, because it could be go jump in the river or something like that, and I certainly didn't want to do that in my early days when I didn't swim at all anyway. But Luke's account, they walked along the road, and here came a third person to walk with them. And it was Jesus. But they didn't know it was Jesus. Like Mary saw Jesus. And there's many questions. Why couldn't people see Jesus and recognize him? They could see somebody, but why couldn't they recognize? Mary thought it was the gardener. These two, they didn't know who it was. Were they not looking? Were they walking west and the sun was in their eyes? Were the tears in her eyes? Or did he look different? He was not easily recognized. Our resurrected body that we talk about, don't want to get into the deep theology of that, if there is any, and I think there is, but the resurrected body is different. And 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul gives details about it's a recognizable body, but it's an incorruptible body. And we have a corruptible body here that we're living in now, but the resurrected body will be an incorruptible body. And I don't know all the implications of that, but it won't be the same body. We talk about the resurrected body are in heaven. That's the body that's taken to heaven. It's the resurrected body. It would be people that walk with a stoop. They'll walk straight. People that are blind will be able to see, no tears, etc., etc. But we're not sure about why they couldn't recognize the body, but they couldn't, and they didn't. And for a while, especially as they walked. So, as we think of this, Jesus walked up with them, but they did not recognize that it was Jesus. And he asked them, what are you fellows talking about? What were y'all discussing? Cleophas expressed his dismay that Jesus did not know what had happened that previous week in Jerusalem. And they told him what had happened. Read Luke 24, and you read about that they told about who Jesus was, or said he was, about his arrest, his death, and then the reports of the empty tomb. And Jesus spoke to them concerning their slowness of believing, and then he went into detail explaining the scriptures. The Old Testament scriptures is what they had. The New Testament wasn't written then because it was happening then. And he explained to them what had happened. He explained to them the scriptures concerning what had happened, that it had been prophesied or predicted. And they walked along, and I guess they said, well, yeah. Can you imagine them walking? Put yourself in that position. You know, the scriptures told about this, and they said, wonderful. We love the scriptures. We've forgotten that part. Oh, yeah. I remember reading that long ago. Okay. But they still, even as he explained, they still did not recognize him. They got to the house of the person that was on the house, and Jesus made like he was going on away. He didn't want to say, fellas, you got to put me up tonight. Where would he have stayed? We don't still know where he stayed, but he made like he was going on further, and they said, well, come and eat with us. Have you heard that one? I grew up in a family where people would come to visit. Neighbors would come to visit in the era of sometime before television, and then after people got tired of television, they cut it off, and neighbors would come to visit. And they'd start to leave, and my stepfather would always say, why don't y'all just spend the night? You ever heard that one? And nobody ever said, okay, we will. And if they did say, okay, we will, I think my mother would have fainted right there, you know. And I don't think my stepfather would have known what to do either. Do something, Eula, do something. What are we going to do now? They'd joke about hanging them on nails or making Methodist pallets, and we were not Methodists, but those visitors, some of them probably were, heard about the Methodist pallets. And these guys said to Jesus, or the stranger with them, this, come and have supper with us. Come and spend some time with us. Go to our home. So he agreed. But he didn't force himself. And I'm convinced the way Jesus is. He's available, but he doesn't come in and force himself on people. He makes himself available. And we are his agents of making him available to the world that does not know him, but that does not recognize him. But he said, okay, I'll go home with you. I'll have a meal with you. As they sat at table. Something good about eating with somebody, right? It's nothing more than a cup of coffee. That's not really eating, but you can discuss a lot over a cup of coffee and a sweet roll. As they sat at table, and Jesus took the bread and broke it and gave it to them. Like a communion service, isn't it? He took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to them, and they saw his hands and they realized it was Jesus. And then Jesus disappeared. The two returned to Jerusalem. Talked about hurriedly. They hurried to Jerusalem and they reported to the disciples back in Jerusalem, gathered behind locked doors, what they had experienced. Back to the traveling on the road. even as their hearts burned. While Jesus explained the Scriptures, they still did not recognize Him. They needed to see, I guess. That's when they recognized Him as Jesus. Even as their hearts burned, as Jesus explained the Scriptures, they did not realize that it was Him walking with them. And that says, I think, to people who have a difficult time grasping the risen Jesus as a reality, and grasping the blessings of knowing Jesus, forgiveness. You're not the first one if that happens to be you. It's too difficult idea to grasp. And does the Holy Spirit have to bless us, teach us, convict us, convert us, enable us to believe? Of human understanding, more than once Jesus spoke of the Spirit enabling. He spoke of Peter when he said, yeah, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, this is a God thing. This is not a human understanding. God has revealed this to you. And then Paul talked to the Corinthians about the Holy Spirit has to enable us to understand. I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's a couple of verses there about that. But there's something good, again, about sitting down and getting close enough to people in our witnessing to eat with them. But there's something really great about sitting at table with Jesus. And that says to me there's something really great about communion, the Lord's Supper. We're at table with Jesus, and we get to feel the bread and taste the bread that represents His body. Maybe this is a communion sermon. As I was preparing, I thought, we can talk about that, even if we're not serving communion that day. And the fruit of the vine, we can see the color of blood, and we can see bloodshed, and then we can taste. The second thing we want to share with you this morning is back in Jerusalem. Some disciples were behind locked doors, and Jesus appeared in their midst. Peter had visited the empty tomb. Mary had seen the risen Jesus. John had seen the empty tomb and believed. And the disciples, and there's indication there were others together with them. The disciples and others were gathered talking about Jesus being alive. Again, this after death, this wake, as we call it, as we go to a person's home and fellowship together. But then Jesus was alive, and they were talking about the reports of Jesus being alive. And then these two guys arrive. They've been to Emmaus, they had met with Jesus, and they arrive at their meeting and report their meeting with Jesus on the way to Emmaus and in the home in Emmaus. And then Jesus came and stood among them. They were talking about Him, and there He was. There was no doubt in their mind, or was there. Peace be with you, He said. And after He said this, He showed them His hands and His side. And the disciples, what was it? Overjoyed. They were overjoyed. Later, John tells us that they thought He was a ghost when He was on the seashore. But they were overjoyed at this experience when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. This is John's account of the Great Commission. The Father sent me, so I am sending you. Matthew has a different... John is more concise in this. A shorter story. A shortened version of it. Matthew goes into detail a little more. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. And then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And some commentators say this is John's account of the day of Pentecost, which we read about in the book of Acts, chapter 2. All John had to, it appears, to hurry to get it all written, see. Or it looks like he did. He puts it all together right here. Receive the Holy Spirit. And then he gave him the power to forgive sin. If you forgive anyone his sin, they are forgiven. If you not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Peace. Jesus brings us peace between ourselves and him. And peace with ourselves. Peace with God. And hopefully that extends to peace with our fellow man. Jesus came as the Prince of Peace. Peace. The Holy Spirit, his Spirit. The power to forgive sin. And John has these events happening on the evening, or afternoon and evening, of that first Easter. A third experience was Thomas. Thomas was absent. Thomas was absent. When Jesus came to the disciples and the others were meeting behind locked doors, the other disciples told Thomas, we've seen the Lord. And how many of us are like Thomas? You're lying. I don't believe it. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Thomas must have been pretty important, or his belief must have been pretty important to Jesus. Jesus waited a week. He didn't rush right in and say, Thomas, you've got to believe right now. He waited a week. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, they're careful to put the locked doors, that he didn't need a door to get through. The doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And then he called Thomas out. Thomas, here's my hands. Put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hand. Stop doubting and believe. I've sat through many, many revivals in the church. Growing up, also in my first 20 years as pastor. And I remember one. I remember very few sermons that were preached, but I remember one portion of one sermon that Brother Vaughn Faults preached. And one thing, he was talking about our doubts or our belief. And he said, so many people doubt their belief and believe their doubts. Can you relate to that? You doubt what you believe? Did it really happen? Is it really real? And you believe those things you doubt. And he asked us to turn it around and doubt our doubts, but believe our beliefs. Thomas saw Jesus. And Jesus showed him the hands and the side where the spear had been. And he says, my Lord and my God. And Jesus says, Thomas, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. And that's us. We haven't seen the risen Jesus, have we? But we come believing. I come believing. I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. I believe in the resurrection of the dead also. He's going to raise us up. We who belong to Him. There's a song that came to mind as we were planning the bulletin, and I was thinking about preaching this morning and middle of the week. It's, "Pass me not, O John Savior. Do not pass me by." And I thought of relating this. I thought of this in relation to the two who walked to Emmaus. Jesus did not pass them by. He came and walked with them. He does the same to us. Those in the, I keep wanting to say the upper room. Those in the locked room. He didn't pass on by. He came and met with them and revealed Himself to them. "Pass me not, but hear my humble cry." Where Jesus is more interested in saving us or revealing Himself to us and saving the lost than we are, or the lost are, in being saved. He's not going to pass us by, but we need to be willing to receive Him when He comes into our midst. Let's pray. Lord God, thank You. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for sending Jesus. Again, Jesus, thank You for coming. Coming to visit us, for not passing us by, but revealing Yourself to us. Thank You for the presence of Your Spirit. Lord, thank You for Your breath upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and we'll sing one verse, if you will, of 220. He lives. We extend a public invitation for those who might desire to respond publicly.
I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of change. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, by Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Go into the world in the power of the resurrected Jesus. Amen. And amen. Thank you, young lady.
Boy,
well, you had a tough time.
I got to the end.
We even got some of this up here, I think.
Yeah, you know what, though? Last time I did that,
it missed you.
It made it worse. So,
okay.
I'm going just with the water. We're standing up there. I just need to do a little Jack and Honey.
Was he drinking through all this?
Hey.
He got the coffin last week even, too.
I can't, you know, I just can't get rid of this.
Yeah.
It
was good to see you today. Yeah. Thank you.